Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni v intervjuju Radija Študent. Danes se bo Katarina Višnar pogovarjala z Julijo Holter, oziroma z Julijo Šamas Holter, kot je njeno polno ime. Gre za umetnico, ki bo danes gostovala in v sklopu svoje poletne evropske turneje tudi nastopila v sklopu dogodka Mlade Rime v Menzi pri Koritu, tako da zdaj le prisluhnimo njenemu intervjuju.
Julia, how do you write your music? Do you have any special time of day or a special setting? Do you sing first or you write first? Or what is the process of your...
I like to do it in the morning, and I like to just have some tea and just start working. And I tend to have an idea first, and then I play it on the piano and sing with it a little bit. And then once I'm recording, and then it's a lot of that's on the computer.
Okay, so do you have, like, is there anything that surprises you in that process of writing?
That surprises me when I write?
You know, something that comes that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, it usually does kind of just come. I mean, I tend to have like an idea that I kind of thought of while I was walking or something, and then I work on it on the piano and we'll come up with all. The whole time I'm always having new ideas. It's never like all planned out in my head and then I know exactly what I'm going to do. It's always changes over time and new things have come about. I play a chord and I didn't expect or something.
Do your songs evolve through time? Like that?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you said the basic of your tools, the basic tools you use are piano and then the computer. Mm-hmm. So do you use the writing as classical writing?
Well, I do a mix. I mean, I just notate what I need to remember what I played. I mean, sometimes I've notated for other people to play, but a lot of my songs I've recorded myself at this point. Mm-hmm. I kind of do a mixture of notation when I'm working on a song, and also playing and just and recording. So I record what I do to get the nuances, but then the basic notes or the harmonic structure I write down. Sometimes I just write down the chords. It depends on the song.
Okay. So during the past year, we could say that you've become sort of popular, at least in what we call indie circle. Is your music in any sense pop?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think that pop music has a lot of meanings. I mean, I think in the sense that it's music that is written with a sense of playfulness and enjoyment. It's not commercial pop. It's not written with a purpose, which is to be sold. I mean, it's written for the fun of experimenting with melody. And I think some pop is that way. I think some pop is not that way, but some pop is not commercial pop. It's just that it's popular in the sense that it doesn't seem the word is popular is the right word anymore for that kind of music, but that's people use it to mean something that is not adamantly trying to be different or adamantly trying to be experimental.
Okay, so what are the elements of pop that are interesting to you?
To me? Well, I guess it's just that it's just the most natural way. I don't think of it as pop music necessarily, but I do think that it could... It's not, like I said, I don't try to be experimental or try to be different or anything. It's just kind of what I want to make. It's kind of the sounds I want to hear, and that comes off maybe as experimental. It has to do with maybe the kind of music I've listened to a lot and the kind of background I have or whatever, but that's just what comes out. And I think that that's the spirit of a lot of people just making music they want to make these days. And they're not thinking too hard about how to make it, you know, crazy and experimental, but, it, you know, they're just doing what they want to hear.
Okay, so you've mentioned your influences. So what compositors or musicians were your influences?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of strong influences. I think that I have a lot of indirect influences, and then there's things that are inspirations to me that are not even necessarily music. So, when I was in high school, Joni Mitchell was really inspiring for me.
Sorry, who?
Joni Mitchell, you know, very famous, like, songwriter.
Yes.
And I really love a lot of variety of things, like a lot of pop music or like Roxy music or just classic stuff. Like I just don't have influences. I have more like things like medieval illuminated manuscripts are kind of an inspiration for me, or which are not music. Although I love also like medieval music or Renaissance music, or I just love so many different things. I would say that each song is a different world that I create, and every world is a different, requires a different set of inspiration. Every song.
Okay. So you mentioned Roxy music. I happen to like them very much as well. So what do you find interesting in their music? I mean, they're most of the time. I find them, you know, they're described like they're too camp to be serious.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
How do you see them?
I just love Brian Ferry's. I love the way he performs, and I love his voice. I love his performance. I think he's a great performer, and just like I love both. I love like the '80s stuff too, and I don't know. I just think it's like great. I mean, obviously the early stuff is on a musical level like pretty complicated and interesting too, and like the Brian Eno part of it and stuff. But I think I mostly just really like his voice. I think his voice is incredible. It's just so it's seductive, but in a really, I think on a lot of levels, it's just really good. And it's natural. It just feels natural.
Right.
Voice is very important to me.
Okay. So, you also mentioned some composers like coming from different ages, from medieval, Renaissance ages. Did you ever think about what kind of music would they write if they lived today? I mean, they definitely wouldn't write like medieval music. But you know, for example, like what kind of music would Mozart write?
I don't know.
If he lived?
I don't know. I think that's impossible to. It's like crazy to think about, and interesting, but also impossible to say because it was a different time. I mean, he kind of was writing pop music. I mean, in a way, that's what people listen. I mean, you know, there was folk music, and it was music for people that were trained. So in that sense, it was for elite to play. But it was pop music in the sense that people listened to it for enjoy. People back then would all enjoy going. It's like now people go to at least in the like U.S. It's very like. Only certain people like classical music genuinely and actually go and actually listen. And I think at his time that was popular music.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's another genre.
Yeah. Okay, because I suppose he definitely wouldn't opposed to what is today defined as pop, because you know there's a strong divide between what's perceived as a classical music or serious music and what's for the folks like popular.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was kind of a prodigy, so he probably would be doing like stuff that I don't even like stuff for that was good for virtuosic show off stuff.
Okay.
I think, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't even know much Mozart. I really love like the Requiem, but other than that, I don't listen to much Mozart. But I mean, yeah. Whereas like maybe Beethoven would be like doing some like something deeper, you know, something weirder. I don't know. I'm not sure what. Maybe he'd be making like metal music, like really intense. Like,
would they use computers?
Yeah,
definitely. I read somewhere you you also work with kids. What kind of work is that?
I probably still will. I love working with kids. I mean, I was doing a different variety of different kind of part-time jobs. I taught a little bit. I taught like basic things like piano lessons and music. But kind of like for little things like camps or at schools, but not as a school teacher. Like I wasn't working every, what I did every day was I was actually a tutor, which means I was really just helping with homework sometimes, but it was a very intense, like it was a mentor job. It was like, you were there, we worked with college prep, and to get them ready for college, and also I taught them piano, and also a music studio production. We had a studio at the school, so I've worked with high schoolers mainly, and it's good. I like it. I mean, it's all part-time work, but it's good.
What was the most important message about music that you wanted to give to those youngsters?
I just wanted them to have fun, but to also, once they got past the point, once it seemed like some kids really enjoy it, right? Because they have some musical parts to them. Then I really wanted them to actually have some discipline with it. I don't think any of them had ever had piano lessons. It wasn't, you know, sometimes kids' parents push them to have piano lessons, but I think a lot of their parents were very busy and they weren't, it wasn't a population that was like had a lot of privilege, you know? So they didn't have, a lot of them, even if they were really, really talented in music, hadn't had the opportunities to have a lot of piano lessons. So it was kind of about just like imparting to them this, like, the importance of focusing on it. And so no one's pushing them to do it, I would kind of try to push them. And it didn't really work all the time, but, you know, at least to like give them, to try to teach a teenager to have discipline is kind of impossible. You kind of have to like encourage them to do it. Mm-hmm. Just indirectly. So once they saw, especially they saw that I was going on tour, they were like impressed. And they're like, oh, okay, so yeah. We'll listen to you, what you're saying.
Right. So next point I would like to touch is women in music.
Mm.
I suppose you know Virginia Woolf's Room of
One Zone. Yeah.
Yeah. So in my view, during the past couple of years, there's something very important happening with women in music. Do you think that women are finally finding their own rooms? what is that is happening?
Yeah, I guess that's I definitely think that women have had their own rooms for a long time in some ways, at least where I live. I've never had a problem. But I do think what's important from that, what I remember about A Room of One's Own, is that she talks about how women, that there's been a lack of the women's voice in a lot of work, and like in music and art, whatever, and everything, I guess. So I do think that there's that's coming through. I don't know how to explain why. I mean, I don't know how you would ever identify what is particularly feminine about music, aside from a feminine voice or something, but like, definitely I think that things have changed in music because of the presence of women, the increasing presence of women, and the ability to make music and not have people, you know, I mean, it's still common that you get compared, if you're a woman, you get compared to like all the other women making music, even if the music is not similar at all. Like, and I'm always, sometimes I'm flattered, but I'm like, that's not accurate. Like, I don't know why you're comparing it. So there is still that, and that's kind of annoying, but it is true that there's definitely something that's changed in the sense that there's just more women making their own music, and it's good.
Yeah, and because, I don't know, like in the 70s we had like Patti Smith and Joni Mitchell maybe, and then, you know.
I think there were a lot of people making music, but they weren't acknowledged.
Yes, yeah.
I work with Linda Perhax a lot. She was not very acknowledged, I don't think, at the time, but then came like a cult, her record became a cult hit later. She had a record in 1970. So I don't know, I mean, I think that they're just, women are just more acknowledged now, and I actually admit that I realized, like, when I went on this tour, that all the music on my iPhone was like from women. Like, a lot of the music I was listening to is, like, my female friends. And I didn't mean to do that, but it just happened. And I don't think of myself as only listening to women's music, but I think a lot of it is really interesting.
Okay. So where is this, like, taking the whole music?
I don't know. Probably, I guess, that Virginia Woolf idea that there's just more diversity in perspective. Once you have a woman's voice, there's just more diversity in the perspective of in the world, in music's perspective, you have more perspectives than you did before. So it's just more opportunities to understand human beings because you are missing out on 50% of the population.
Okay, and now to your next project. You are preparing or recording?
I will be. I haven't recorded anything. I just have demos and stuff. So I have a bunch of songs I've written, but they haven't been recorded yet.
Are you working with some people?
Not yet, but I will. Yeah.
So how do you have idea how will it look like?
No, all I know is that I'll work with other people. So in that sense, it'll be more diverse, as I said. It'll be more interesting, I think, in some ways. It'll be more varied in terms of texture, timbre, voices, whatever.
Okay, and what are we to expect tonight here in Ljubljana?
Well, I'm playing with Corey Fogel on drums and Christopher Votek on cello, so it's the three of us, and we're just going to play a bunch of songs, and we've arranged them together, so...
Okay.
There are a lot of songs from Ecstasis and maybe other stuff, so...
Okay, thank you very much for this talk.
Julio Holter, ki jo lahko danes slišite v Menzi pri koritu, se je pogovarjala Katarina Višnar.
Intervju Radia Študent.